There's good surprises, there's bad surprises. Overall, there's always surprises. I remember not too long ago, the teachers at DCA and I, we were often trying to scare one another. And usually scaring comes as a big surprise, right? You run out, somebody's walking around the corner and you say, ah, right? They jump and it's a big surprise. One of these days I was helping them move a couch out of the foyer and put it in the dumpster. And my next job was to pick up this box that was in the floor that looked like a gift and to put it in the trash. So after coming back from taking the couch out and this chair out, I wouldn't come to pick up the box, and as soon as I picked up the box, the girl jumped out of the box and said, "Surprise!" I was like, "What in the world?" Like, I almost peed a little. Surprises. The Bible talks to us of a big surprise, something that nobody was expecting, and it came in the form of a baby. His name was Jesus. His name is Jesus. See, here's the thing. Since Genesis chapter 3, God promises that a Savior would come and save God's people. That's what He would do. The Savior would come and save God's people. It would save them from sin. And nobody thought that this Savior would come in the form of a baby. That was the biggest surprise of it all. The Apostle John, he chooses to tell us the Christmas story in a very particular way, and he packages it all in the word love. Let's read it together. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 12. This is what John, this is his Christmas story found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God Himself, He is love. In this love, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son in the world so that we might live through Him. Did you hear the Christmas story? Did you pick up on John's Christmas story? This is what he says. I'll repeat it. He says this: in this, the love of God was made manifest, showed up among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. He not only comes to tell you about the Christmas story, but He tells you why Jesus came, so that our lives would be lived through Jesus. And he says this: in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we loved one another, God abides in us and His love is made perfect in us. I don't know about you, but you know that somebody loves you when they give you a gift. Isn't that true? Right? A gift, everybody likes gift. Don't we all like gift? And gift is one of the biggest demonstration of love. In Matthew chapter 2, we read about these three wise men bringing gifts to Jesus. Bringing gifts of love. This is what Matthew chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. This is what we read there. It is up there for you. When they saw the star, that meaning the wise men, they rejoiced. There is words in English and I can't pronounce, right? You know that. So I need your help. That's one word I can't pronounce, all right? If you're new to Delaware Christian Church, I'm from Brazil, have an accent, if you notice right now. And there's some words in English I can't not pronounce, no matter how hard I try. So I need your help. I will start and you finish. When they saw the stars, they rejoiced. Dang, man, that's what I'm talking about right there. With great joy. And going to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Wow, these guys who didn't even know Jesus but loved the message, loved Jesus, came and gave him gifts. There's a couple of words that I love in this passage. The first word is the word treasure. The Greek word for treasure is thesaurus. That means what one values, whether silver or gold or something intangible, and the storage place of what is valuable. I love that because it really means something that someone thinks is precious, is valuable to them, right? So these guys, they opened their treasures, meaning they brought something that was special to them, of value to them, not to Jesus necessarily, but to them. The second word I like about this is the word offered. Offered him. Listen, you know that somebody, you know somebody loves you when they give you a gift. But when somebody requests you for something, you give them that gift, then that love goes away, right? And so that's what I love here. It is not a request from Jesus. It is a gift these guys brought out of their own will to Jesus. There's a self-willingness to give Jesus these treasures. The wise men brought gifts to celebrate Jesus' birth. These three gifts symbolizes what gifts we ourselves can bring to Jesus too. The first gift, let's talk about the gifts of you here for a second. And I have three boxes here to illustrate those gifts. And the first gift that Jesus was given was gold. So inside of this box, I have a little gold coins. Of course, they are fake gold, right? There's not real gold here. But back in the day, only kings would be given gold. Only kings deserved gold. So they brought to Jesus the gift of a king. They brought him the gift because Jesus is God's son, the King of Kings. Jesus is the greatest ruler of the world. I often ask the question, if the wise king gave Jesus gold, what is it that I can give to him, to Jesus, at the same level? And I think the gift that we can bring to Jesus is letting him know that he is king of our lives. And to be king, and for him to be king over your life, over my life, we ought to have an attitude of surrender to him. The second gift that we have, that we see it in the passage, is the gift of frankincense. Do you know how long it took me to memorize and pronounce frankincense right? It took me forever. I keep wanting to say Frankenstein, right? It's like Sarah, the worship leader, is like, Sam, it's not frankincense, Frankenstein, it's frankincense. I might even be pronouncing wrong. The passage in Matthew tells us that the second gift the wise men brought to Jesus was the gift of frankincense. When the wise men brought this to Jesus, they bowed down to him. And frankincense was something that was used in the Jewish religions to ceremonies for worship. It was a product of worship. And I have here in this box, the inside of a little bottle of frankincense. When we show love to others, we are showing love to God. And to worship Jesus, it is to love God, but we love God through loving others around us. When God showed his love towards us, he did that in the form of a baby. And we ought to show our love to others in many different ways. John, in chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, he says this, "Dear friends, since God loves us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us." So it is not only a gold or frankincense. The third one that we read is myrrh. The passage in Matthew tells us that the third gift that was given to Jesus was myrrh. Myrrh was a perfume used when someone died and was buried to make them smell nice. Sometimes I think that my 13-year-old needs myrrh. You know how they are growing and all of that. When the wise men brought myrrh for Jesus, they were showing that one day Jesus would die for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 tells us this. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. I don't know if you recognize this, but we are all born sinners. I am, you are, we are all sinners. We do wrong things that break God's heart all the time. We are imperfect people living difficult lives. But Jesus died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven and we could share in a special relationship with God. I love what John tells us in John chapter 1, 1 John 1, verses 9 and 10. This is what he says. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all weaknesses. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. See, it is not only recognizing that Jesus is King. It is not only worshiping Jesus. It is also recognizing that we need forgiveness. And that Jesus himself came to give us that. We are supposed to be living free people, free from our sins into forgiveness. So the gift we can bring to Jesus is the gift of the desire to be forgiven. When we ask Jesus into our hearts to be our Lord and Savior, we ask Him to save us from sin. And when we do that, there's a party that happens in heaven. Yes, God likes party. This evening, as I close, I want you to think about the three gifts the wise men brought to Jesus. The gold, the myrrh, and the frankincense. But it's not only the ability to think about that. It is also the fact that you can give God a gift tonight. This evening, I want you to think about these gifts. But I really want you to meditate on the gifts that you can bring to God. We can bring the gift of making Jesus the King of your life. Completely surrender your life to Him. You can bring the gift of the desire to be forgiven. Maybe you have made some mistakes and we're still living through the mistakes that you have made. Jesus is telling you, I am here to forgive and to erase all the weaknesses that came with your problems. Maybe you can bring the gift of loving others as Jesus has loved us. What is the gift that you're going to give Jesus? There are many things we can give to God as the wise man demonstrated to us. There is always one thing and one thing only us can give to God. That's our hearts. Imagine that you have an empty box that you have put a gift in there and to give it to God. What is it? What is it that you are willing to give God? Why don't you surprise Jesus this Christmas and New Year to come with the unexpected gift of trust, your trust, of surrender, of obedience, of commitment, of sacrifice? Why not give your whole heart to Jesus? If you want to give God the gift of your heart and ask Jesus to live in your heart as your Savior from sin, I would encourage you to do so by making Jesus King of your life, by spending time in prayer and reading His Word. Would you give your heart to Jesus by making Him King of your life tonight? This evening, you'll be given a bowl. You'll be given a card and a bowl, which should remind you of the importance of giving your life to Jesus. You are the best gift God could ever had. As you leave this place tonight, remember, it's not the gifts you give or will be open in the morning that will matter most in life, but the gifts you give to God. And that's your life. Let's pray. Jesus. Father, we are so thankful of the fact that you gave us Jesus. That you send your Son on earth so that we could live forgiven and free lives. Father, today we celebrate the birth of Jesus. That was the start of what we call salvation. So I pray that as we think about gifts, as we think about the message, that we will be reminded that we can bless you with our own lives. So may we all surrender our lives to you, Jesus Christ. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
It was 2000 BC, and all throughout the land, the angels declared the birth of the Son of Man. Heaven's bundle of joy in a manger laid, the hope of our nation in the form of a babe. A star so bright, it pierced the midnight sky, that the wisest of men could not deny. Could this be the sign? Could this be the child of the one that would come and deliver mankind? While shepherds watched their flocks at night, they revered in wonder at the marvelous sight. What news is this that the heavens declare? It is the promised Messiah. He is finally here. This Christmas season, we unfold the biblical story. We peel back its layers to look behind its history, to really appreciate the true meaning of this time. We must revisit creation and let all the pieces unwind. You see, God the Father and Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit together all existed as one. The triune God perfectly weaved the creation of all things, and at its pinnacle, Adam and Eve. But there was an enemy who, because of pride, was disgraced. Once in existence with the angels, now fallen from his place. He was present amongst creation, seeking to destroy what was made in God's image to rob us of our joy. On that day when mankind rebelled, it was pride that caused the fall. Yet prophecy foretold of the one to save us all. Mankind's defiance against God gave birth to sin. We are no longer able to walk or speak with him. We were exiled from his presence, cast out of Eden. This separation from God meant that death was certain. But Jesus Christ, of equal sitting amongst the heavenly three, says, Father, their judgment demands death. Let it be me. I will provide myself a sacrifice. I will give my life for this, so that through me, they would be brought back into righteousness. He removed his crown and he set it down, and he volunteered to go to trade places with his creation in the heavens below. But the enemy pursued to try and stop Messiah's birth, for he knew his demise was certain if Jesus entered earth. The Son of God, Emmanuel, came and dwelt among us. A child was born, but a son was given, and in him we place all trust. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that the fate of man and enemy sealed together once his work was done. He turned in his robes of royalty and wrapped himself in humility. A citizen of heaven no more, he was now a poor refugee. We have hope in his birth and victory in his death. On the contrary, Mr. Nathaniel, someone great came from Nazareth. Through the scriptures, he is revealed so that everyone would know that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem many, many centuries ago. The Son of God stepped into this fallen world to redeem what was lost, for we are his betrothed. He delivered the crushing blow against the enemy, for in Messiah's work, death was his destiny, his resurrection, our victory. So it's with pure joy we approach this hallowed Christmas Eve, that's to see that the fulfillment of the prophecy was pronounced through Adam and Eve, that all our sins, past, present, and future, the Son of Man would bear. So we proclaim his birth each year in all nations everywhere, that the commencement of redemption came silent in the night. For all was calm, all was bright, evidenced by his great light. You see, God's timing is perfect. In him, there is no delay. With expectant hearts, we commemorate each and every Christmas day. A Savior for the people, a promise fulfilled, when Jesus, our Messiah, was born to be killed.